Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
It's 6:15. Bord na Mona wants to build a smokeless coal manufacturing facility here. In its annual report published today, the company also reported record operating profits of €50 million. Speaking this afternoon, the company's chief executive, Gabriel Darcy, said that a strong harvest was behind the record figures.
We produced a record turnover, 427 million odd. We produced a very strong earnings of 91 million. An operating profit of 50 odd million, an after-tax profit of 30 million. All lines a record. It was a record harvest, but the prior year we produced a record turnover, and that was following the worst harvest ever in our history. So yes, we produced a very strong harvest, and it's great credit to all the people within that business that actually work very, very hard to get that 6.5 million tons. It's a lot of product.
It's a lot of product indeed. That was the chief executive of Bord na Mona, Gabriel Darcy. With me now is our agriculture and environment correspondent, George Lee. George, what more do we know at this point about this large smokeless coal facility?
One of the main extra things we know is that it'll most likely be located near a port. A lot of Bord na Mona's manufacturing plants or power plants are located in the Midlands, where they have a lot of land around bogs. And that gives them big advantages for some things, because you're away from an awful lot of the population. So it makes it relatively easy if you want to develop wind farms, for instance. But when it comes to where they're going at the moment with the smokeless coal, because it's going to be imported, a lot of the raw materials for that would be imported, it makes more sense for them to have that close to a coast, close to a port. Now, I've no idea what port they're looking at, but I remember back, I think it was in the early 2000s, one company had been looking at the area of Foynes as a potential location and a port where they could build a smokeless fuel facility. So I have no idea whether or not Bord na Mona is thinking along those lines, but that kind of area has been mooted before. So we'll wait and see. But they have done a lot of the groundwork. They've done a lot of potential selection of sites, and they've done an awful lot of their own preparations behind the scenes, and they're now on the verge of the final phase, which is going to be to select it and apply for planning permission, and they say it'll be a large facility.
Okay, and it's a first for them, is it?
It is indeed a first for them. I mean, obviously there'll be environmentalists who will be very concerned about it. There are a number of concerns. One is what happens when you generate smokeless coal. Now, the chief executive said today it won't be just coal that they're using, because they will use other biomass to mix it with the coal that they've got to produce something that's producing less carbon or less smoke than they currently have. But the coal and smoke, bituminous coal, which produces all the dirty stuff that we don't, you're not allowed to buy it in Dublin, although you are allowed to burn it. And there are various areas of the country where there's a ban on it, and that's spreading. And the whole notion is that it'll become a nationwide ban pretty soon. And Bord na Mona is saying, well, look, if this is going to be a nationwide ban, we need to sell a lot of smokeless coal. Where are we going to get it from? We're market leaders in this whole area. So how are we going to maintain that position? And the way that they're going to maintain it is to produce their own smokeless coal. Now, when you're doing it, having looked it up, I said, how do you make smokeless coal? Seemingly you get the dirty stuff and you crumble it down. This is one process. This is from looking now, in fairness, at about a paragraph or two on the internet, so I am no expert on this. But what it said on the paragraph on the internet was that you crumble it all down and then you kind of heat it. Not burn it, but heat it. And that somehow removes some of the impurities. I don't know what happens with them. And then you take what's left and you make it into little nuggets and so on. And that's what sometimes you see with black diamond coal, which is a Bord na Mona product. What happens with all of the nasty stuff will be a very interesting question. The other thing the environmentalists are very concerned about is they say, hang on, you know, smokeless is a great idea, but we shouldn't be doing this, because you're locking yourself in for a long, long time into burning coal, and we should be jumping that technology and going towards more retrofitting of houses, encouraging people to use less, and certainly not encouraging people to lock themselves into carbon fuels. So that's what they say. So there will be a big debate about that environmentally, and whether or not it's the right thing to do.
And presumably that's all very well in theory, what the environmentalists are saying, but there is still such a huge demand, particularly from industry, for coal.
Well, there is, but that's more of a global demand. I think for in Ireland it's not as big an issue, because our energy, a lot of it that ESB gets, it isn't generated as much through coal, but more so through gas. gas. Money Point is the exception. It's a very, very important electricity generation capacity for ESB, and that is coal-fired. And in the future, we'll have to look at that, no doubt, what exactly they're going to do.
OK, in relation then to the financial returns for the company, why have profits soared so much?
Well, they soared, I suppose, all areas of their business. See, Bordemona is much more than about turf. And bogs and so on than they used to be. A lot of their bogs, I mean, they have 80,000 hectares of land. And one of the things that they were going to be tied into was this big, huge export of wind energy to the UK. And they were very well positioned for that because a lot of their areas, it's in windy areas in the Midland, surrounded by very, very, very few houses with cutaway bogs and land that they're trying to figure out what they'll do with and how they get a use out of it. So their areas are very useful for that. So they've made a lot of money this year by virtue of the cost containment and repositioning their company, obviously the performance in terms of their peat harvest, but not just that. They are engaged in a new resource recovery facility, is what they call it. What it is a dump, whereby it's not quite a dump. They're using the gases from that to generate enough electricity to power 8,500 houses, and that's in a place called Drehed, which is in the Midlands, and it's away from everywhere, and there's great potential there for further development. They're also bringing online, and they've just completed a new, huge new wind farm in a place called Mount Lucas, which is in Offaly. And they have 29 huge turbines there. They're about 56 metres up to the core and then 56 metres to the top of the fin, the thing which blows around with the wind turbine. And they've just put on the last one there last week or thereabouts. And they're moving on to a new one, which is on the border of Kilkenny and Tipperary and Laois. And it's a place called Brocana. And that'll be about half the size of the one in Mount Lucas. But they're also planning a huge one, which is double Mount Lucas's size, and Mount Lucas is currently the largest in terms of capacity in the country. We'll double that for Mayo with the ESB. So they have lots of areas of business on that front, and they're doing very, very well on all of that. But biomass is a big issue for them. What they're doing in terms of their generation capacity, in they have a particular plant that they own in Edenderry, which was burning all the turf, which is brought to them by the little trains through the bogs, and they turn it into electricity there by burning it. They've been adding more and more biomass, which is wood, which and other things, 25% biomass, and they've been making a lot of significant improvements there in terms of efficiencies and so on. So right across their area, they're doing very well. And another area where they're scoring very highly, I think, with environmentalists is what they're doing with cutaway bogs. They've opened up a place called Lochbura Park, which isn't too far, I think, from Birr, about 15, 20 minutes in a car from Birr, in around that Edenderry area in general. And it's a fantastic place if people want to see what can happen when a bog is recovering, because the amount of biodiversity there is enormous. They have a load of places for people to come for recreational purposes, for walks, for cycling, for all of those kind of things. They've done a lot of wetlands. You can fish for trout in some of them. You can fish for other fish in some of them. And I believe you don't even need a license for that. So they're doing fantastic things with recovering the environment and so on, and making great strides on that front too.
Oh, so it sounds great.
One of the big challenges they have, actually, Audrey, if you don't mind me saying, sorry if I'm interrupting now, is that they've been asked by the government to merge a lot of their activities with Cuilta. Mm-hmm. Now, Cuilta is a very different organisation. It's a state-owned organisation. It's the state forestry company. But their culture is very different, and what they do is very different. But there appears to be potential for synergies between Bordemona and Cuilta, particularly in the area of wind, a lot of the remote areas that you can build wind farms on, and in the area of biomass, which is wood, because Cuilta, obviously, that's their business, and the chippings from the wood will help for the generation of biomass for the electricity plants and so on, and in the area of recreation and tourism, and also back-office services. So in the future, you can see the two of them getting closer and closer together. But I think for the company, for Bordemona, merging those two infrastructure, the infrastructure is the cultural challenge for the company. That's a very big one. And I think that for the next couple of years will be something we should keep them busy behind the scenes.
Very enlightening. George, thanks very much indeed for that. That's our agriculture and environment correspondent, George Lee.